fun. Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield in the keynotes, all inviting you to...
Well, Jim, do you realize we've been together for 7 years?
Yes, I knew I shouldn't have broken that mirror. Bentley, you're not going to get sentimental, are you?
No, Jim. It's just that, well, I want to bring up a rather delicate subject.
Mm-hmm.
My solicitor tells me that when a man gets to the age of 30, he should think about making a will.
The age of 30, eh?
Yes, but I don't want to wait that long. I mean, although I'm perfectly healthy, it's quite possible I could walk out of this studio tonight and a coping stone fall on my head.
Oh, it's very unlikely. I'd never get up those steps fast enough.
Okay. Anyway, he gave me the form, and I want you to help me fill it in.
Oh, yes, all right.
You see, it starts, yes. I, Richard Bentley, spinster of this parish.
Bachelor Bentley.
Oh, is there a difference?
Well, I'll explain to you when you get to 30.
Oh. Oh, thank you. Yes, it goes on, I, Bentley, being in good health and sound radio.
Sound radio?
Yes, I put that down because I'm leaving all my effects.
You know, I might be able to get up those steps. Oh. I don't know.
And here's the really important bit, Jim. I am naming you Beneficiary.
What? You're naming me Beneficiary?
Yes, you've got it now.
What a ghastly name. You want to name me Jimmy Fishery or something like that?
Or Amy Fishery.
No. Or Mac. Anyway, do
no,
you mean that
here.
Dead trouble.
Yes, sir.
Do you mean that you're leaving everything to me, Bentley? Same as you've done all your life?
Yes, Jim. I'm leaving you all my goods and Chatsby's.
Bentley, do you seriously mean that all your worldly goods, you Jim endow?
Yes, Jim. Including my teddy bear overcoat.
Oh, Bentley, suddenly I feel rather shoddy.
Well, so's the overcoat.
After 7 years of making rather nasty jeers about you, you come up with this really noble gesture.
Yeah, well, there it is, Jim. When I go, all I possess will be yours.
Oh, I can't talk. Bentley, will you ask Miss Cogan to sing? I want to go somewhere where I can be alone with my thoughts.
But where will you be, Jimmy?
Up on the roof, loosening a coping stone.
Come on, Jimmy! No. Jimmy, I'll cut you off without a penny.
The naughty lady of Shady Lane has the town in the world. The naughty lady of Shady Lane, me, oh my, what a girl. The naughty lady of Shady Lane has hit the town like a bomb. The back fence gossip ain't been this good since Mabel ran off with Tom. Our town was peaceful and quiet before she came on the scene. Oh, the lady has started a riot, disturbing the suburban routine. Oh, the naughty lady of Shady Lane has hit the town like a whirl. The naughty lady of Shady Lane, me, oh my, what a girl. Now you should see how she carries on with her admirers galore. She must be giving them quite a thrill the way they flock to her door. She throws those come-hither glances at every Tom, Dick, and Joe. When offered some liquid refreshment, the lady never, never says no. Oh, the naughty lady of Shady Lane has the town in a whirl. The naughty lady of Shady Lane, she's delectable, quite respectable. And she's only 9 days old.
And just a sec, Jim. Just let me reach into the silk-lined pocket of my Savile Row hand-stitched pearl grey suit, bring out my wafer-thin platinum cigarette case, press down on the appropriate ruby, and there. Dog end, anybody?
Well, 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 it's Wealthy Wal, the polluted bloatocrat.
Yeah, oh, I love it. It's smashing, having servants. Nowadays, when my lady wife and I sit down to tea in the blue room, there's no tiresome pouring out for us to do. No, the parlour maid, she hands us our tea already saucered and blowed.
What a charming domestic scene. But what is the source of this sudden excess of Wal Lolly?
I finance. This mystery financier I'm no doubt tied up with.
Yeah.
Well, his latest idea is going to make us millions. Look, you know how expensive tea is.
Oh,
now.
By just the price of tea is shocking. Yes, and do you know, on the stage, they used to use cold tea to look like whiskey.
Yeah.
Now they're using hot whiskey to look like tea. My word, then I'll buck up your performance, though.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, what did the soap people do when soap got expensive? They brought out soapless soap. Detergent. It's not exactly soap, but it's a reasonable faxy smile.
Oh. Yes. And your gaffer's doing the same thing as the detergent people did.
That's right. He's bringing out a tealess tea. Half the price, works exactly the same. Spoonful per person, one for the pot, add odd water, pour in milk and sugar, and there you are. Looks like tea, smells like tea.
Oh, what's it taste like?
Detergent. What do you think, Jim?
Well, no, as a matter of actual fact, we've got our own ideas on tea parties, haven't we, David O'Donoghue?
Oh, sir, yes, we have. Particularly children's tea parties, which are in full swing this time of year. Every children's party is great fun, particularly if Daddy can be at home and stay right till the end.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Armitage.
Hello, Mr. Baxter.
You've come to collect your Robin, eh?
Yes,
oh, do come in.
Thank you.
All the kiddies are romping in the nursery. Robin! Robin Armitage! Your mummy's here. I think they've all moved to the greenhouse.
I do hope Robin's been good, Mr. Baxter. He does get rather excitable at parties.
Yes, I must say that I haven't... Oh, ah! I told you if you did that again, I'd wrap that bow and arrow around your perishing... And here is Robin.
Hello, Mum. Rotten, cheap little house, isn't it? Look at this wallpaper.
Oh, Robin.
It's quite all right. I can easily stick it back. Well, we're sorry to have you go, Robin. Let me help you on with your cap and scarf.
Ooh, Mum. I just had a smashing game looking through the drawers in Mr. Baxter's bedroom. Ooh, Mum, guess what he wears in the winter? Long red... Oh!
Did I pull the scarf a little tight, Robin? Well, we're certainly sorry to see him go, Mrs. Armitage. He certainly is a live wire.
Ooh, that reminds me, Mum. I found a pair of pliers and...
All right, Robin, you don't have to bring that up. The electrician's coming in the morning. And Grandmother's doctor says that the twitching should stop quite soon now.
I'm so glad he hasn't been too much trouble. Well, come along then, Robin. Have you got everything?
Wait a minute. Me balloon. Me dead mouse. Me... Here, just a mo. Who's got me tales from the crypt?
You gave it to Andrew's little sister.
Well done, Robin. Well, now, before you leave, darling, what do you say to Andrew's daddy?
Shove off, fatty.
Oh, Robin, dear, you don't say that.
He does, Mrs. Armitage. Repeatedly.
I'm afraid he is a proper schoolboy.
I have another word for it myself.
They are all the same, aren't they?
Yes, aren't they?
Look at him. His best suit on, and yet goodness only knows what he's got stuffed in his pockets.
I have news for you, Mrs. Armitage. I was going to mention that. He can keep the bits of jelly and blancmange, but the silver salt cellars are part of a set. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Baxter. And tomorrow Robin's having his party.
Oh.
Do you think your little Andrew could come to our home?
He'll be there, Mrs. Armitage. He'll be there. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Frida, get my old demolition outfit from the cellar and send Andrew down for a briefing.
Pike's Talking Point. Once again, we meet the Glums. Our family of ordinary people coping with life's problems. Today, their talking point is,
On New Year's Eve, should one be philosophic because it's the end of an old year, sanguine because it's the beginning of a new year, or just sloshed? So, over to the glamours.
It's New Year's Eve. Don't let's stick in. I want to go out and do something mad. Something really gay and crazy. Wouldn't you like to go out somewhere, Ron?
I've just been out, eh?
I don't mean to get a bucket of coal, Ron. I feel like laughter and excitement. Oh, Ron, let's do something we can think back on the rest of the year and chuckle about.
Right, O.F. Look the other way and I'll turn me cap back to front.
Well, you did that last New Year's Eve, Ron. I want something different this year. Oh, Ron, what's happened to your go?
It's gone, eh?
Ron, you're in one of your inscrutable moods. You've got some secret sorrow gnawing at you, haven't you?
Yes, eh?
Ron, is it because the death of the old year sort of symbolises the sadness of life passing?
No, eh?
Well, what is it, Ron?
I've lost me roller skates.
Oh, Ron.
Now, I'll never get to the Labour Exchange by signing on time.
Ron, there's me chiding you while all the time you've got business worries. Oh, I'm ever so sorry, Ron. Oh, look, I don't care what we do tonight.
Right, O.F.
Oh, Ron, not that.
Just a kiss. It's easier with me cap back to front.
Hello. They were doing the mambo. Well, it looked like the mambo anyway. I hope you don't mind your privacy being busted in on like this. There's something on the television your mum's very keen on. Ah, there it is. And a good half a bottle left and all.
Don't you and Mrs. Glum ever go out on New Year's Eve, Mr. Glum?
Oh, yes. Last New Year's Eve, she went out like a light. That's why I got this bottle of proprietary brand this year. But, you know, gadding about doesn't interest me. I'm just as happy at home with a glass in my hand and me back to a roaring wife. You youngsters don't know how to make your own amusements.
I do, Dad. But you always come walking in with a la, wa, la, wa, la.
I'm talking about celebrating. In my day, we didn't have no television to sit and stare at. If we wanted fun, the whole family gathered round the piano, 18 or 19 of them.
They had families of 18 or 19?
Well, I told you they didn't have no television, you see. And we'd all sort of muck in, you know, and do a party piece. Ooh. Auntie Emily, she used to do Let Me Like a Soldier Fall. Then after she'd fallen, Uncle Charlie would do one of his comic monologues. Then at midnight, ash would fall. We'd ring out the old, sober up the young, and it's a way of life that's gone forever.
Oh, no, Mr. Glum. Why don't we have a party like that tonight? You can do your party piece, Ron.
I've done it, beloved. But I could do it again with a different cap.
Yes. You're highly comical. Anyway, I'll get your mum down from upstairs. That'll make it a really glum do. Oh. Mama! It's the wife from the landing. I've got your bottle, dear, so leave whatever you're a-doing of and we'll have a real old-fashioned New Year's Eve. Ah, ah, ah. Oh, dear. Well, that's a bit of luck, Ron. She found one of your roller skates.
Requested this evening, it's formal. A top hat, a white tie, and tails.
Nothing now could take the wind out of my sails.
Because we're invited to step out this evening with top hat and white tie and tails.
That's the reason that I'm putting up a top hat, tying up a white tie, brushing up a tail. That's if we reach with glass. And I trust that you'll excuse my dust when I step on the gas. Or I'll be there, putting up a top hat, busting up a white tie, dancing in my tail.
They're stepping out, my dear, to breathe an atmosphere that simply reeks with class.
So right, my darling, and we trust that you'll excuse our dust when we step on the gas. For I'll be there, putting up a top hat, busting up a white tie, dancing in my tail. I got my top hat.
That's that.
White tie.
Bye-bye.
Going to paint the town a rosy red.
Waiter, three more brandies and soda, please.
You really have to watch it, Your Grace.
I say, you chaps, I saw a most interesting film about wildlife the other day. You know anything about wildlife, Bentley, what?
Oh, yes. I stayed up to nearly 9:30 on Boxing Night.
No, I mean the African sort, elephants and so on. Apparently there's a husband and wife who go out to Africa filming these animals. It's an extraordinary job for a woman, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know, you silly old Grace. Mind you, there was another couple who went out to Africa. They had a really grueling time. It was like this.
We are west of Zanzibar, the part of Africa where the jungle is at its most rank. Yet here, in a jungle clearing, Hubert Alloway, a sick white man, lies tossing and turning with none of his loved ones near. Only his wife.
You're a coward and a weakling, Hubert. It was a mad idea coming out here to take films of wild animals.
I know. There must be an easier way for me to get another television series. Oh, Laura, if I die, I want you to go back to Joe.
Joe who?
Hannesburg. Laura, I'm... Look there. Peeping through the tent flap.
Where?
A warthog.
The name is Jim. Better known as Elephant Jim. Jambo.
Elephant Jim? The greatest white hunter in Africa?
That's me. I heard all about you two on the native drums. The drums said there was a bombity-bomb-bomb-bomb-bomb-bomb-bomb-bomb eel in the jungle. They also mentioned he was accompanied by a fetching bit of bombity-bomb-bomb-bomb.
But what are you doing up country?
Me? I'm after lions tonight.
Don't go. Help me, sir. Help me. I think I've been bitten by a snake. A BOAC instructor.
A boa constrictor. All right. I'll do what I can, but I warn you, surgery out here in the jungle is pretty crude. However, I've got with me my two native bearers. Come in here. But why not? Well, haven't you got a spare loincloth? I don't care if your mum did have to boil the Christmas pudding. Bring me a 40-pound hammer.
What's that for?
The medical term is anesthetic. Now, Alloway, I'm afraid this is going to hurt.
Does it always hurt?
No, only when someone mistakes me for a warthog. Now, let's see. Well, that's funny. I can't see a snake bite.
but I'm so hot lying here. So terribly, terribly hot.
Well, oh, you clutch, you've got your bed over the campfire. Oh, you aren't half a stupid bomb, 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 bomb.
Laura, I've recovered. I haven't got snake bite. Look, Laura, I'm not so hot now.
Oh, you weren't all that hot when I met you. Oh, Elephant Jim, stay and help us. Hubert's got to film a charging elephant. Stay and lead us to elephant country.
Well, it's an attractive idea, but a woman on safari, I don't know. I've had that trouble before, I'm glad to say. You were a fool to bring your wife to Africa, Alloway.
I couldn't leave her behind. Whether you like it or not, she's a beautiful woman.
Oh, I like it. I always have done, but very well, then. I'll stay. Pitch camp. We'll start out tomorrow afternoon. If it rains in the afternoon, we'll start tomorrow morning.
Jumbo!
Three weeks later, we were 700 miles up country. But I was conscious of a vague uneasiness. We should have been 400 miles down country. And more, I was becoming conscious of that Laura.
Jim, I must talk to you. Sit down over here.
But what about the poisonous creeper?
Oh, it's all right. He's out with his cine camera. Oh, Jim. Jim, since I met you, I despise Hubert even more. He's got something I hate. A yellow streak.
Oh, it's not his fault. It's tricky eating soft boiled eggs in a canoe.
But you, Jim, you're all man.
I know.
It's funny. It took the jungle to show me the truth. This wild, matted tangle of scrub, it does something to a woman.
I know. That's why I grew it. But, Laura...
It's you I want, Elephant Jim. It's you. Oh, Jim, you can call me sentimental if you like, but I want you to do me a favor.
What is it, Laura?
Push Hubert under an elephant.
What? Oh, you're bad. You're bad, Laura Alloway.
No.
And you're supposed to be civilized. Why, I tell you, my number one boy, George, is more civilized than you. You're evil, Laura Alloway.
Oh, not
get away
really.
From me. Get away.
No.
Get away, I say.
Jim.
Away. Right away. Farther than that. Right behind the orchestra.
Jim, what's the matter? Laura just ran past me into the jungle. She had a handkerchief stuffed into her mouth and her eyes were streaming with tears. Jim, you've got to tell me. Does that mean there's curry for lunch?
Hubert, listen to me, man. Your marriage is in the melting pot.
Anything's better than curry. Oh, Jim, I've seen this coming. I suppose our marriage was doomed from the beginning. I started under a delusion.
And you look like ending under an elephant.
Hubert, if there's anything I can...
Why, now, come now. What?
You don't say. Bless my soul. Hubert, Laura's been carried off by a rogue elephant. Quick, into the jungle, to the elephant's nest. See, there they are. See, look, a whole herd of them. Try and keep downwind.
Very difficult after curry.
Oh. I told you we shouldn't have stopped to have lunch first. Heavens, look. Laura's on the ground and an elephant is just raising one foot to crush the life out of her beautiful body. For pity's sake, man, shoot.
Right.
Not with your cine camera. With a gun.
Oh, I haven't got a gun. They wouldn't give me a license.
But what about your wife, man?
Oh, yes, I've got a license for her. Jim, I'm going out there.
Come back, you crazy fool. He's gone. Look at him. He's walked right up to that elephant. He's talking quite quietly to it. To the elephant. He's removed Laura from under the elephant's foot. Oh, Zanzibar has never seen such courage.
Oh, Hubert. You saved me. You are a real man after all. Oh, Hubert, can you forgive me? I've said some rotten things to you.
It's not your fault, my dear. You don't write the script. Come, dear. Goodbye, Elephant Jim. I can stand on my own feet now.
Jambo, Jim.
And Jambo to you too. Goodbye. Look at them walking into the golden African sunset. For once, Africa has been kind. Jambo!
They're almost out of sight now. I wish I had something to wave. No, put it back on, you fool. No, you'll catch a cold. Oh, no.
And in a bit of it's in the augmented BBC Review Orchestra, bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield, and the keynotes. The announcer was David Dunhill. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...